Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Exodus chapter 5. The Lord said, verse 7, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their sufferings. Let me stop right there. It's Moses month, but we can't talk about Moses without talking about the God behind Moses. And so the word of the Lord is this: I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I want you to hear this. Behind Moses, there is a God who's concerned about the sufferings of his people. If you got a pulse, when I say such things like there's a God in heaven who's concerned about the sufferings of his people, because you people have a pulse, therefore you have an issue, somebody in the room ought to say, oh, thank the Lord for that. Because the God behind this Moses is a God who sees you, sees your suffering, sees your misery, sees your addiction, sees your dumb choices, sees the things done unto you, and he's concerned about it. And he says, indeed, I see it. I'm concerned, and I want to do something about it. You see, because that's good news, Rob. Yeah, way to go. Thank you. Yeah, great news. Because this God, the God behind Moses, is a God who is primarily concerned about the restoration and the freedom of his people. Now, there are stories of people in this room who once came here in bondage but met this king behind Moses and walked out in freedom. Let's just do a visual. I want you to see visually the truth of this God who is concerned about the freedom of his people. If you've experienced freedom because of the God behind Moses, would you stand up and just look around while you're doing that? Go ahead and stand up. Yeah. Now hang on, sit down. Too many of you are standing. Maybe you don't understand what I'm trying to say. This isn't a peer pressure. Oh, they're standing. I got to stand, right? Here's the deal. When I was in eighth grade, I was hanging out with my friend Brett Bomier at his house, and we were chopping wood with a big axe. That's what guys do when they're younger, right? And as we were chopping, wham, I missed the wood, and I hit my kneecap. Might have sworn. Just might have. I looked down. And I didn't see blood instantly, but rather I saw the white of the kneecap exposed right there. And it didn't hurt, so I'm a little intrigued up front. It didn't hurt yet. And then the blood started coming, and then the pain started coming. This was many, many years ago. You know what happened to this injury with the axe on my knee? What happened? Anybody? Say it again. It healed. I haven't thought about that in decades. I mean, literally, I had a wounding, an injury, a thing that was broken that really crippled me up for a while, stitches and all that stuff, you know, couldn't walk around. I haven't thought of that sucker for a long, long time. And so when I talk about this God behind Moses who wants to bring restoration, it might seem impossible today, but there will be a day when that thing that is crippling you right now, that thing is just hampering anything you do right now, there will be a day when you say, wow, yeah, I remember that painful thing, but I haven't thought about it for a long time because the Lord has brought restoration. Yeah. And so that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a quick Pollyanna, everybody stand, rah, 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 without any deep thought. I'm saying if you've had restoration of a kind where once something was painful and broken, but because of the work of the king, you haven't thought about it in a while, because of the God behind Moses, would you stand up and let's just get a visual of that type of restoration. That's what I'm talking about. Are you sure about this, people?
Yes.
Really? Okay, stay standing. Now, the rest of you who are sitting, here's the deal. God doesn't really care about you. And they're better. Okay, next point in my teaching. Is that true? Don't let me get away with that. What do you need to say to me?
No.
Baloney. See, the restoration that we visually see in the lives of these people is the restoration that is for every single person who has brokenness in their life. You can have a seat now. And so the God behind Moses, the God who in the story of the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, when he sees the suffering of his people, what was true about God then is true about God now. And I don't want to go any further in the story of Moses till you all hear me that God sees and he wants to bring restoration of a kind that will knock your socks off. Y'all hear this? In fact, in the Moses story, when God sees the suffering of the people, we hear the echo of things to come from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 4, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God sees and he cares. Now, if you got a pulse, and we only say that not to highlight the issues, but to give you freedom to admit you have issues so that the Lord can enter in and do something about it. So, back to the text, Exodus chapter 5. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I want them to accept me as Lord and Savior so that when they die, they can go to heaven and be free." Amen. Next verse. "Because I don't care if they suffer here on earth. They got to suck it up till they get to heaven." Because the next verse, it's really about heaven. I don't care about them on earth. Amen? Amen. Do you agree with that little? But practically, many of us do. You see, we hear the truth of the restoration of this God behind Moses, and we simplify the gospel of Jesus, the death on the cross and the empty tomb, as fire insurance, as they say, so that we don't go to hell, so that someday we'll get to glory and we won't have suffering then. But in the meantime, stinks to be us. But you'll note in the story of Moses and the Israelites that the deliverance and the freedom that God brought to them was not a deliverance and freedom for the afterlife. It was a deliverance and freedom brought for this life. And so the freedom that God has for us, it's not simply about when we die, although I am including that in there. When we die because of Jesus, we'll be in glory and there will be no more pain and no more suffering. But if we think that's all it's about, we're missing a big chunk of what God is teaching us. Because God wants us to have freedom on this side of heaven. And so there's a God in heaven behind this man, Moses, who sees people suffering and says, "I want them to have freedom right now." Somebody say right now.
Right now.
So God, picking it up, Exodus 5, verse 10, God says to Moses, "Now go. I'm sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Exodus 5, verse 10. In our story, in the Exodus, there are many players in the act. A few weeks ago, Rod talked about the Israelites and the Egyptians, and he rightly said that we often, as Americans, run to the Israelite play. We need a rescue, which is a very true statement, but he also challenged us and said, sometimes we're the oppressor. We are the Egyptians, born in privilege, and yet using our privilege for our own benefit and not to set others free. So he's right in contrasting those two players in this story of Israel and Egypt. You know, there's the player, the act, the person of God in the story. But the person that I want us all to resonate with today in the story of Moses Month, any guesses of who that might be? Any guesses? See, the beauty of the scriptures is there's just layers and layers, like meaning. It's like an ogre, right, that are very deep like onions. Anybody know Shrek at all? That went over everybody's head in the room. Okay. The Bible has layers of things, and we can pick it apart looking from an Israelite perspective, an Egyptian perspective. You know, what is God doing? But today I want us to focus in on the Moses perspective and see if there's anything for us to learn because of Moses and what God says about Moses. Moses says to him, "So now go. Go. You go. I'm sending you to bring my people out of Egypt." So the God behind Moses is a God who chooses to use people for his purpose. I remember saying it this way once. He chooses to use you. You see, God didn't need Moses. God's God. He was all powerful. He could have snapped his fingers and boom, it would have been done. But God likes to bring people into freedom through the work of other people. Y'all hearing this?
Yes.
And so let me quote my illustrious colleague, Roderick Tucker. I'm quoting now. I listened to these sermons. I hit pause and I took some notes. This is what Rod said in the last couple weeks. God's solution for your crisis, because we're all in crisis from time to time, right? God's solution for your crisis is for you to go and be with someone who is in crisis greater than you. God knows that if you can partner with him to bring someone else to freedom, then you will experience freedom yourself. It's the magic of the cross. It's a good word, Pastor Tucker. And then he said this last week. Countless Christians are spending all their time trying to get themselves free before diving into somebody else's freedom. Countless Christians are spending all their time. It's kind of like juggling with the lights in your eye. It's hard to do. Let me start this one again. Countless Christians are spending all their time trying to get themselves free before diving into someone else's freedom. When maybe your freedom from your desert is directly tied to your choice to walk with someone else in their desert. See, God wants you to be free today, but maybe from the Moses perspective, we need to say God wants you to be the agent of freedom for someone else. God wants you, who am I talking to? Well, let's just be clear who I'm talking to. Do you have ears? Yeah. Then I'm talking to you. That includes people who've been a part of the river since our inception years and years ago. And it includes people who've never in their lives been here before. Whether you're a tree-like disciple, a seed-like disciple, where they're not even a follower of Jesus. If you're here for the first time or the millionth time, I'm talking to you. God wants to use you to be the agent of freedom for somebody else. Somebody say me. Who does God want to use? He wants to use you to set somebody else free. So I think we might be due for something new here at the river. If you got a pulse, that's a beautiful phrase, and I think it's helped us create a safe environment for broken, messed up people like me and you to just come and safely deal with our issues. But I think we might be due for a new mantra. Maybe in addition to if you got a pulse, maybe we need to tweak it up and say, if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. I like that one. So let's try that. If you got a pulse, now get your emphatic, friendly fingers out like this, and I want you to say, if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. So if you got a pulse, if you got a pulse, now if you're a visitor, you don't have to do this, but if you've been around, get your friendly finger out and point at your neighbor. If you got a pulse, hey, Dan Kilburn, quit picking on my kids. Mac, quit picking on Dan Kilburn. You guys behave. If you have a pulse and your purpose is the freedom of people in your world, your purpose is the freedom of people in your world. Let's try it again. If you got a pulse, would you turn to your neighbor and tell them they've got a purpose? Well, here's the thing. Some of you might be thinking, you know, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too short. I'm not educated enough. I've missed my opportunities. I don't know. Let's learn a thing about this guy named Moses to see if he can encourage those of us who feel like we might have missed the boat or missed opportunities or have done stupid things. You all heard from Rod a couple weeks ago that Moses committed murder, right? So God wants to use people who are stupid and make mistakes. I'm still in. Moses, at the time that God spoke to him right here in Exodus chapter 5, he was, anybody know how old he was at this time? I heard it over here. He was 80. Right? He lived for 40 years in Pharaoh's house as an adopted son. 40 years he lived in the desert, and he came back at the age of 80. So here's the deal. You ain't too old to be used by God. Time has not passed you by. And you're no longer relegated to collect dust. You have a pulse, therefore you have a purpose regardless of your age. And this would describe Moses accurately. Everybody repeat after me. Bok, bok. He was chicken. You know, God came to him and in the story of the burning bush, and many times God was speaking and said, I want to use you. And he kept saying, God, don't use me. I'm scared. I can't speak right. He's like, I want to use you. Like, oh, God, I'm dumb. I can't do this. I want to use you. I can't. I'm just not good. I can't. And God finally came down and said, hey, dummy, I made you. you're good enough to be used by me. So if you're scared, and if you think less of yourself than maybe you ought, you're in good company because Moses was there as well. But just because you're scared to be used doesn't mean God's scared to use you. That's a good word. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, that's a good word. Just because you're scared to be used doesn't mean God is scared to use you. All right, let's pick up the story. So Exodus chapter 5. Is it chapter 4? I was writing this sermon while on an 8-foot ladder with lights on my eye juggling. Is it chapter 4? Thank you. In the book of Exodus, the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, you see, Moses and his brother Aaron had gone to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and said, hey, you got to let God's people go. They began to walk out what God told them to do. They began to walk out the deliverance of others through their effort. They began to realize that their pulse meant they had a purpose. They began to realize that those people's freedoms was up to their work. And so they went to Pharaoh and they began to work. And Pharaoh said this, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you're stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave the order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people, you're no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. And that's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lies. Jumping down. And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers that they had appointed, demanding, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Now pay attention to this one. Some of you have been engaged in fighting for the freedom of others. Way to go. Some of you have been engaged in fighting for the freedom of others. Way to go. We learn a harsh reality from the story of Moses in the Exodus right here, that just because you begin to fight for the freedom of others does not mean it comes easy and quickly. In fact, often when you fight for the freedom of somebody, things get worse for them than better. That's a bummer, isn't it? But if you've ever been discouraged because you've been fighting for the freedom of your friend or your neighbor or your coworker or your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, if you've ever been discouraged because your labors fighting for their freedom seems to be hitting a roadblock, I want you to be encouraged because my man Moses had the same roadblock that you've encountered. It's not easy. It is not easy. It's not easy fighting for the freedom of others. It will get difficult, and it will require work for you. And so in the story of the Exodus, read it on your own. He has to go back to Pharaoh, and he confronts them in the power of God 10 times. And it took persistence and persistence and persistence, roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And I'm wondering if Moses, maybe after the 7th trip fighting for the people's freedom, just said to his buddies, I'm done. I'm tired of this. Let's go back out into the desert and we'll hang out with the sheep some more and life will be a little simpler. I'm done. Have you ever felt that way? Yes. Fighting for someone's freedom and you just get hit again and again with a roadblock. I wonder if right now some of you in this room are like, you know, I'm done. You know, Christy and I were talking about that. We have a friend that she's been fighting for a while, and I actually was the voice of discouragement to Christy. Oh, aren't you just tired? Just throw in the towel. Let it go. And then I came to church and worked on a sermon about Moses who got tired but had to keep going. Keep going, Christy. Yeah. Be encouraged. Moses had his roadblocks too. And sooner or later, for him much later than he wanted or anticipated, Well, let me not get there. You know what Moses did when he was frustrated? He gives us a great example. So this is a bit of the text from the Exodus story in the book of Exodus. I have no idea what chapter. I think chapter 5, maybe verse 22. He models for us the perfect thing to do when life gets frustrating and the freedom of people just isn't coming like we would hope. Moses returned to the Lord and said, that is to say, Moses got on his knees and he prayed to the Lord. Moses returned to the Lord and said, in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his weariness, in the midst of his ever-present opposition to the freedom of others, Moses just went to the Lord. He went to the Lord. And so if you're feeling the roadblocks as you fight for others' freedom, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling let down again and again and again, just do what Moses did. Return to the Lord. Because in returning to the Lord and being with the Lord and talking to the Lord, he said, and he just poured out his heart to the Lord. Well, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you've sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak, this got worse. He poured out his heart to the Lord, and he left his time with the Lord refreshed and energized and able to re-engage the fight for somebody else's freedom. So if you're tired, get back with the Lord. Get back with the Lord so that you can go and fight some more. Get back with the Lord so that you can fight some more. I think the tides are turning here at the river. I think the first 10 years of our existence, you know, our focus was really to train us in what it was to sit with the Lord. Our focus was to train us in worship. And over the last 10 years, you know, we did some things to scare people away who we felt were just here along for the ride because we wanted people who were here to encounter the King of Kings. And all of our work primarily was focused on connecting you and me to the Lord. I think the tides are turning in this next decade. I think the Lord is pleased with us having learned to sit with him. He's pleased that we've got a discipleship thing in place. He wants each of you and me to get close with him so that when things get tough, we can sit with the Lord. We can return to him. Are you hearing me? Yes. But I think the tides are a-turning here at this church. And the focus is becoming more and more out there and less in here. It's less and less about the Sunday service, although that's incredibly important, and it's less and less about us growing and understanding of the things of the Lord, although that's important, and it's more puberty, sorry. And it's more and more about us getting out into Kalamazoo and beyond and changing the face of this earth by our mercy and our work of fighting for others' freedom. I think the tides are turning. We have built a foundation where when things get tough, we can do what Moses did and we can go return to the Lord. But from here on out, I think our focus for the next decade, maybe longer, is to get out into the community. And so we're figuring out what that means. But I wonder if a tough question is needed to be asked right now. In light of the fact that Moses was the agent for the people's freedom, which tells us that we are the agent of people's freedom, I wonder if this tough question needs to be asked. If you're a part of this church just to get your Sunday morning fix, I wonder if this isn't the church for you. I mean, if we view our time on Sunday as, yep, check, I did my spiritual thing, now I can go about the rest of my week and not think about God again, or I can go about the rest of my week without thinking about the freedom of others, if that's what you're coming to the river for, I'm wondering if this isn't the church for you. Because I think the Lord wants to wake all of us up and mobilize us in ways that we have never been woke before or never been mobilized before so that we can get out and realize that our existence is here because people need freedom of Jesus. So maybe there's a gut check for you. Why do you even go to church? Is it just to do your spiritual thing or is it to be motivated and connected with the King so that you can be his agents of freedom on planet Earth? I think there's a turn. Well, there's Moses. He became an agent of people's freedom. just want to make sure I see what I see. I think I do. I see a bunch of modern-day Moseses who are created to walk in freedom, to fight for the freedom of others. So get to it.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.